Welcome, everybody, to the Friar Talk podcast. I'm here today with Isaac and Chase, and we're just going to be doing kind of an off-season check-in type episode. We haven't talked to you guys in a while, so let's talk about Manny Machado and Fernando Tatis. They both made the All-MLB first team, and Denilson Lamet made the All-MLB second team, so congratulations to both of those guys. I think that they were pretty deserving of the awards. I think it was pretty clear that Manny and Tatis were going to win the first team. And it's pretty exciting, too, when you kind of start looking at, like, all right, we have maybe the best left side of the infield in the sport. Often those two get compared to Story and Arenado. But I think we've talked about this on the pod before. I think that they're a better tandem than those guys. But Isaac, man, what do you think about these guys winning the All-MLB awards?
Yeah, you got a big point there. I definitely think they're better than Arenado and Story. Obviously Arenado's a Platinum Glove winner, so maybe Manny's not better in the fielding aspect, but I think on the offensive side he's better. But I definitely think they're both equally as deserving. They've both had great years. They're both electrifying players, and it's awesome to see that San Diego is finally getting some guys that, you know, are worthy of these kind of honors, because we haven't had guys like that in a long time.
Yeah, no, big time. And Chase, what about you?
Honestly, it's great to see. Both Tatis and Machado were MVP candidates. I mean, the last time we've had an MVP candidate was when? Especially two on the same team and an All-MLB player. And then even Lamet got second team MLB. You know, you can kind of consider it a snub from All-MLB, but we had a few guys with outstanding seasons and had some that were considered for some major awards. We haven't had that in a long time. It was great to see.
Yeah, I know. I mean, it makes sense why there was actually a run this year, you know, pretty foreign to us Padre fans. Also, Denilson Lamet, him winning the second team, he's one of those guys that we really need him to take that jump and be the first team guy. Now with Clevinger out for the entire 2021 season, but, I mean, that's massive, because he wasn't, like, a sure thing coming into the year. I know that, Chase, you've always been super high on him, but he wasn't, like, expected to come out there and just dominate the way that he did. Hopefully he can sustain it for a whole season. That'd be so big. But, I mean, we're going to see if this team – I think they're going to make another move in the starting the pitching department, and we're going to get into two of those guys later. But, I mean – this is a good start for this ball club, because you got three core pieces playing at such a high level. So really big for them right there. Another thing I wanted to bring up about one of these guys is Fernando Tatis. I wanted to bring up that there's been rumors that he's not going to get extended. I think it makes perfect sense. I mean, we're in the middle of a pandemic, and it doesn't really seem like this is the best time for cash flow. Also, just from the Padres' perspective, why would you sign Tatis after his, like, emergence, right after his emergence? Like, I get that it might be exciting to do that, but it makes more sense to wait and let him play for a whole year to show that, you know, he can withstand an entire MLB season and play at, like, a superstar, which I am very confident that he will, but it just wouldn't really make much sense for them to extend him right now. So I did want to bring that up. But what about Trevor Bauer? Unless, do either of you guys want to comment on the Tatis extension first?
I think you got it pretty good. I definitely think that in the middle of a pandemic, you know, obviously a lot of teams weren't able to get as much money as they normally would in a regular season. So you definitely got a point there. But, you know, I have no doubts that Fernando can maintain a superstar status. I think he's the rock of our franchise. And it's smart for him to bet on himself as well, because, you know, he can afford to wait, because obviously with him we're an electrifying playoff team and, you know, hopefully World Series contenders. And without him, you know, we've seen that we're not the same.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, and even looking back at 2019, the team wasn't, like, they weren't bad when Tatis was playing, but when he wasn't playing, they struggled so much. I remember that big time, because, like, as the year went on, like, kind of like the dog. I mean, maybe it's the aspect of, you've like lost playoff contention, not playing for much, so you kind of fall apart. But I mean, there was definitely a big difference when he was playing and when he wasn't. So I think it's smart for him to bet on himself too. But want to kind of talk a little bit about Trevor Bauer. The Padres, I think they're definitely in the mix. Last episode we talked about this. I said that ideally you want him on a 2-year deal. I don't know if that's going to happen. Right now, the number that I've seen is that he's going to end up getting or be like around is a 1-year contract for $36.5 million. Also, the four other teams that I've heard mentioned the most that like the most interested teams in signing him were the Angels, the Yankees, the Dodgers, and the Astros. I mean, it's always the Yankees and the Dodgers, so that's not a surprise. But the Angels they've been really pursuing him. I've seen a ton of stuff for the Bowers to for ba like hashtag Bauer to Anaheim on Twitter. And the Astros, hopefully he doesn't become an Astro because I don't want to see the Astros do well, neither does anyone else in the MLB. But I mean, they're gonna have to pay him a big price. And I think what it would really come down to is, does Bauer want to play in San Diego? Which, I mean, normally these star baseball players are gonna say no to that because the Padres usually are not a prime location. But I think after last season and all the excitement, and we talked about it during the playoff series against the Dodgers, Bauer said something like, "Oh, like San Diego looks pretty exciting," or something like that, or and he was just commenting on how exciting and like young this team is and how much energy is around it. So I definitely still think it's a possibility. If they're able to pay him a year 1-year contract for $36.5 million, I think that benefits both sides because I think on one, the Padres need an ace. They need a true ace. And we mentioned LeMet already. If you have LeMet and another guy, you have a 1-2 punch and then a bunch of young arms that are really talented, that could be very good for like a long season now, because last year was a little bit different for this club. So having Bauer there, the veteran player that is just incredibly important to having a winning team and maybe even winning the division, like that would be big time for the Padres. But I'm all for it, man. A 1-year, $36.5 million deal. I would absolutely love that if Trevor Bauer came here. And I think pretty much every Padre fan feels the same way about it as me. But Chase, what about you?
Yeah, I like that deal. And also, I don't know if you guys know this or not, but Trevor Bauer is his own pitching coach. So he goes in and he reviews all his film and all his mechanics. And if he can point out some things to the younger guys, even if it's just through that 1 year, maybe changing grips on some pitches or just changing their mechanics a little bit, or if he notices something that could propel them to the next level. They'd be able to check these things for themselves and not rely so much on a pitching coach since we don't have Darren Balsley. So I think that would be a wonderful move. Even if it's a little bit more money than we probably had estimated. I think we had said like 2 years, maybe 40 million at the most. But I think it's still worth it with the extra 16 million a year or whatever it would be.
Yeah. Isaac, what about you, man?
Definitely worth it. I think the good thing about Bauer, and maybe it's not so true, but is that he has said that he'd rather win than take more money. And maybe that's not true because we know how athletes, they love their money, obviously, but and rightfully so. But Chase brought up a really good point. I also think we're in win now mode. I think this team is positioned to win. And I honestly feel like if we don't get Bauer, then we might as well start looking towards 2020, what is it, 2022, right? Yeah, because I mean, the Dodgers are going to be so much, they're going to be stacked compared to our pitching staff. And I think Bauer is really going to be the key to our offseason. I think he's going to be the guy that obviously everyone's going to have their eyes on. And you brought up not many guys want to come to San Diego, and you're absolutely right. And I think what's good about now is that this team is fun, they're exciting, it's in a really nice area in San Diego. It's a win-win situation, really. So, I honestly am really, really, really hoping that Bauer comes to San Diego, as we all are.
So, Isaac, I got a question for you. Is it as much of like Bauer or bust, or is it more like acquiring another starting, like a very good starting pitcher or bust?
I honestly think it's Bauer or bust, only because is Stroman off the market yet?
No.
Okay, so maybe Stroman will be helpful, but I mean, let's be real, you know, that Dodgers lineup is crazy, and you know, having Bauer and Lamet is just crazy. And not all, and on top of that, like, it's gonna be so good for like if we're actually allowed to be in the stadium and everything, it's gonna be so good, like seeing the stadium sell out so many times a year, and you know, San Diego hasn't had that in a really long time. So it's, you know, to me, it's Bauer bust.
I mean, I think that they want to. I definitely think they're gonna try to get him. I just wonder, like, I think it's really up to him. I mean, while the Angels haven't had a great past, they do have Mike Trout. You know, like they have a great player. And then you have the Dodgers and the Yankees. Obviously, they're gonna be contending. And the Astros, I mean, the Astros almost won it last year. I don't know how much he would factor in being hated for being an Astro, but like, if he said that stuff about winning, like, I think that most likely that's probably the Dodgers or the Yankees, unfortunately. But if he wants to kind of mix it up a little bit and be like, okay, I'm joining this new team that's up and coming, and he goes on the Padres, signs a 1-year deal, the beauty of it is if he signs a 1-year deal and they're good, there's a very good chance that he re-ups, you know? And like, Chase, you brought up the stuff about him being a starting pitcher. We're not super sold on Larry Rothschild, but like having him doing that with the young guys, having him mentor Mackenzie Gore, Luis Patino, all the Adrian Morahone, all those guys, like that could be super critical to having these guys develop a lot. One thing that I'm probably the thing that I'm most excited about next season, because we've kind of seen like, all right, we know who like the star players in the lineup are, like we know who these guys are. I think for the foreseeable future, it's going to be about like, okay, what about the complementary pieces? Like, how good are they? That's what a lot of this, that's what a lot of baseball is about, really, is like, okay, like you got these core guys. Well, how does the bottom of your order do? And last year for the Padres, it was really good. But one thing that I'm super excited for is how do the young arms progress? Because if they progress and they get really good, this team could be like, just like shot into like, all right, they're really, really good. Like, if the Padres signed Trevor Bauer and Mackenzie Gore came out and just is a beast, like and he is immediately like almost like the Tatis effect, like in his rookie year where he came out and everyone was like, okay, Tatis is really, really good, and it was very obvious right away. If he is that type of start and say Chris Paddock bounces back, you have four legit starting pitchers, and then who's your fifth would be Davies. You know what I mean? Like you have a good bullpen, and then you also have Patino in there. Like if two of the young arms can be really good, and you have Bauer, Lamet, and Davies, that's terrifying. That is absolutely terrifying, and they are 100% in it to win it. But I do want to say I don't think it's full on Bauer bust. But I think signing Bauer would pay like so many dividends in not only 2021, but also down the road, because these young arms that like having him there might help them a ton. And that could be a really big thing for them. Also, you sign him in 2021, there's a larger chance, I think, if you sign him for a 1-year contract that he's there 2022 as well. And I've said this, I think I said this maybe last episode or the episode before. 2022 is the year that I really think that they're going to have their best shot, just the way that stuff's going to work out. And hopefully, like some young guys figure it out a little bit. You know, that's like when Mackenzie Gore hopefully is like really balling, and hopefully Paddock, I mean, hopefully Paddock figures it out this year, but when these guys feel a little bit more comfortable. But like signing Bauer, I think it gives you a way better shot in 2021, but also for 2022 and 23, 24, and 25, you know, like all those years, having those arms progress is a really big deal. But with all that said, I want to move on to the complementary pieces. Chase, I know that you were talking about an international guy. Do you want to bring him up real quick?
Oh yeah, there is the Japan pitcher. His name is Tomoyuki Sugano. He won the Sawamura Award, which is comparable to our Cy Young. He's 31 years old, had a pretty dominant year in Japan. Let me see if I can find the stats. He went 14-2 with a 1.97 ERA in 2020. That's pretty solid for a professional pitcher. I know sometimes there's always that concern whether or not a Japanese pitcher can make the jump to the MLB. However, he has faced MLB competition before when the MLB team went over to Japan, and he did shut them down for, I believe, 6 innings. So he has faced top-tier MLB competition, so I think he can make the jump pretty easily.
Actually, I'll ask you this question, Isaac. Do you think that a guy like Sugano, do you think he is maybe like plan B? Would you be okay with that? I mean, like, obviously you said Bauer or bust, but is that something that you'd still be pretty happy with if the Padres went that route?
I don't think I'd be happy. I don't think I'd be mad about it. I think as long as it's not like some sort of crazy deal, because we got to remember, he's 31. As long as it's not some sort of crazy deal, I'm for it. Because to me, it's like it's low risk. He has a good track record over there in Japan, and if he doesn't work out, good thing we have a bunch of young arms, and they might pan out. So I'm not opposed to the move. I would actually kind of like them.
So the contract that I found via The Athletic was 5-year, $50 million deal. And him being 31, I think that's a little bit concerning. I don't know if it's like how this projection came to be, but that seems kind of like a lot, especially for like in terms of years. I mean, $10 million a year isn't crazy for a good starting pitcher, but for 5 years, I feel like if you were kind of approaching it as maybe like a 2 or 3 year deal, that would make a lot more sense, even if you paid him a little bit more money. But to go 5 years, $50 million, that seems a little bit pricey to me. But Isaac, do you think that's a little much, or do you think that makes sense? What's your kind of thought on that?
That's like 3 years too much, in my opinion.
Yeah, that's what I kind of think too.
Because he's like 31, and by the time that contract's over, he's 36. And then if he doesn't pan out, you just committed to this guy for really 3 more years than you should have. And then what do you got? You just wasted money on the guy. I mean, obviously, if he pans out, then that's awesome. But he's gonna be 36 after that deal's done. Like, no, I don't think that's a good move.
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm thinking too. Chase, do you concur with us or no?
I do think 5 years is too much. I think 4 years, 45 million, if you want to pay him a little bit extra just because you don't give him that extra year, that would be right around perfect because you can give him till he's 33, 34 as a starter to see if he does pretty well, and then if he starts to struggle, you can always move him into a reliever role and 10 to $11 million a year for a pretty strong reliever. That's not too bad.
Yeah, no, I like that a lot. But yeah, that's kind of where we're at with these two potential pitching accusations right here. But there's not a ton going on right now in the MLB. But one last thing I wanted to bring up, and then I'll turn over to you guys. Tommy Pham has been brought back, going to be paid, I think, $8 million a year or $8 million for next year. And while he wasn't that great last year, he had the hand wrist injury, and he kind of aggravated again too. The big thing for me is that he holds a career 832 OPS, and I think that them bringing him back is pretty smart. You got him and Will Myers expected to man the corner outfield spots with, I mean, I'm guessing Trent Grisham will be back in center. That's a pretty formidable outfield right there. I like that. The only kind of issue with that outfield is that Myers and Pham combined will make 30 million. Obviously, Will Myers makes the bulk of that, But I really like them bringing back Pham. And hopefully, I think next year I don't want them to move on from Myers. I know that he's had his struggles in the past. Maybe he's just, I don't know, fooling us to thinking he's good again. But I was very critical of Will Myers, and last year he balled out. So I want him back. I mean, I think that him being in a lineup that's a lot better helps him a ton because he gets to see a lot more fastballs. And he gets to really wait for his pitch. Like, his approach last year seems so much better. And because Will's one of those guys that just gets into horrible slumps. And it's because I mean, why would you throw him good pitches if he's just swinging and missing at everything? Like, he just gets into those spurts, I guess. But having him and then having Pham on the other corner outfield spot, I really like that because they're different players. You know, Pham's an on-base guy, and Myers is too, but Pham is, you know, gets on base, steals bases, is a good fielder. Where Myers is, you know, he's got some more pop, got some questions in the field. Though last year he played it pretty well. But I like both those guys back there because they both get on base a lot. And while Pham isn't necessarily a power hitter, he's good with the glove, and you know, he steals bases. He's a smart player. He's a savvy veteran type player. So I like them bringing him back. Not too expensive, $8 million makes sense. This will probably be his last year, I think, in San Diego. Probably, however it goes, doesn't really matter how if he plays really well or doesn't play really well. But I'm happy that they're bringing him back next year.
I think bringing back Tommy Pham's a really smart move. I mean, like you said, he's a cheap guy to keep, and you know, he's a leader in the clubhouse. He steals bases, and I think him, Grisham, and Myers are a really good outfield. I think Grisham's an everyday outfielder. I mean, Myers came around. You're right. He's able to see a lot more fastballs in the lineup. You know, they got to face someone, and I think you know, like you said, Tommy Pham's gonna be a good guy to keep around on you know on the low, and I'm excited to have him back, honestly.
Chase, what about you, man?
I'm excited to have him back. I know he has some question marks around him right now, especially considering the stabbing incident, and the struggles he sort of you know, there was that, and then the struggles he kind of had last season, though injury could play a part of it. If they keep him, they probably don't keep Profar, which kind of glad, and I want to keep Myers. Just because Myers could be that backup first baseman that can pick a ball, you know, we could use that. And he's also been proven to be an all-star. So, you know, an all-star that can pick a ball at first base. Man, why do we need Hosmer?
I think that's a question we've been asking the entire time we've been doing this podcast.
Since like the first time we like I saw the alert that we signed him, I thought, why? Why?
Yeah, no, I think it's smart. So question for both of you guys. Do you think there's any chance that Tommy Pham is back next year? Because for me, it's a hard no. Like, I think this is his last year because on one hand, he's going to play himself out of a new contract, and on the other hand, they would just probably not want to retain him. I don't really see a situation where it's like, oh, we're bringing him back for like a little bit of money. Like, I feel like he's just not going to stay past this year. But I don't know. Do you guys see a situation where he does end up staying?
Yeah, if he bets like 350, does something crazy. I mean, I think I just don't. I don't see him coming back. I mean, after this year, I don't really feel like we need him after this year.
That's kind of what I feel like as well.
Yeah, I was gonna say we have a lot of young talent. Even if he does something crazy, even if he hits like 350, like you said, he's gonna demand a lot of money, and we have a lot of people that can play that position probably just as well, and that are younger and probably make better life decisions than what he has this offseason. So, much rather go with that.
Dude, I don't know about the young guys making good off the field decisions. I mean, we saw Luis Campusano, he got arrested for a felony charge. Now it
Hey,
was weed, but like
he's a catcher. I'm talking about outfielders here.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I'd rather I don't know. I'm saying this now, but I feel like I might end up going back on my word. But I'd rather pay Will.
Dude, I'd much rather pay
Past the
Will.
season, though, I do like the move of bringing Tommy Pham back this year, though. Like, I think it's smart. They like he didn't really get a good opportunity here. Like, and I don't think they want to just be like, oh yeah, well, we completely blew that trade. Like, there you go. I mean, I guess we didn't though, because we got Krohnengod in it, so there was that. Because Tommy Pham was just the throw-in piece. The deal was for Cronenworth, as we all know. But I mean, you got to give him like an actual opportunity to contribute, I feel like. And I mean, and his track record says, hey, he's gonna get on base, and that is a big time positive when you have Manny Machado, Fernando Tatis, and Will Myers, and I will not mention Eric Hosmer in those names. But I don't know, guys. Anything else you think we should bring up? I mean, there's really not that much going on right now.
Not and even like you brought up like there's other people that can play left field. I mean, I honestly think there were times where I thought Profar was a better guy to have in left field than Pham. That's
Yeah.
all thought. Yeah.
I don't know, like Pham can't see sometimes. I don't know what that is all about. Like, do you know about like all this stuff with his eyes earlier in his career? And then every time they show him in the outfield, he's always squinting. Like, I feel like this dude is like almost blind.
Yeah, he did have an eye condition that almost took away his career. I don't know too much about it. I just know that he had surgery to fix it. Other than
Was
that, I
when he was
don't know.
really young, right?
Yeah, no, his
Like
surgery
early
was,
20s?
yeah, early 20s, probably. Because he was on the
Yeah, no, I know that, but
Cardinals when I think it happened.
because he was in the minors for a long time, right? Like he was one of the guys that didn't like get into the show until like he was a lot older. I don't know, man. Like, I mean, I like Tommy Pham, don't get me wrong, but I just don't think that he's the future move. He's almost like the guy that NFL teams bring at quarterback, where like they're grooming the rookie and they're like, all right, this guy's gonna play and he's gonna lose his job halfway through the year. It's
So you're
almost like
saying he's
that,
Ryan
except
Fitzpatrick?
yeah, basically Ryan Fitzpatrick. Yeah.
Like a stopgap.
Yeah, like big time, right? Like, I don't know, that's definitely like the vibes I get from Tommy Pham.
Definitely. Like he's serviceable. He'll do the job, but it's gonna be nothing crazy.
Yeah. But anything else from you guys?
Good.
Yeah, I'm good.
All
There's
righty.
not a lot.
Yeah. All right, everyone. Well, thanks for listening. We're gonna be back pretty soon here. We're gonna be talking about the top 30 prospects. I think we'll probably break that down either like two episodes of 15 or three episodes of 10, and just going through those guys. And maybe we'll toss in some notable guys as well that maybe aren't mentioned in the top 30, but we feel like they should be mentioned. But thanks everyone for listening, and we'll be back probably next week. So talk to you guys soon.